Okay, this is Susan Gingrich. I'm back, and we had a little upset there. I think that was a little bit much pressure on short notice. We had thought our show would be next week, and we were called suddenly and really weren't ready to do it, and it put a little pressure on her. So we have a different guest back on, and I'd like to introduce Thomas Easley. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. We've had Thomas on as a guest before, and here we have him back. So, Thomas, we've got until almost at the hour to have a chat. So how is everything?
Everything is going well. I actually just got through putting together a PowerPoint presentation on using enzymes to heal the body for the leadership conference in California in February.
And you're going to be teaching something on that?
Well, no, my teacher is going to be teaching something on it, and she called me and said, hey, you're the enzyme expert, can you put something together for me? And I said, sure thing. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Thomas and I are teaching together in Things Herbal. We are planning to get out into this country and teach a course called Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad, and also another one called ABC plus D. These are the basic elements of herbalism. Let's kind of wrap up a little bit more on the topic that we did bring up. And I think we'll be sure to have Allison on, or that same topic on at least another time, concerning how to create things that can manifest in your life as you want them to. And it's the difference between wishful thinking and actually living a magical life that allows you to have what you want. Now, we are, as I said, we are planning to lay out these courses throughout the country. Thomas, you want to talk about that? I know you've been working on the bios and everything for it this last week.
Sure. The courses that we're going to be teaching are the first two courses in a series on how to become a professional herbalist. The first one really applies to everyone in the fact that it teaches you how to take care of yourself and your family for all acute illness without going to the doctor. And by acute illness, I mean things that come on suddenly, cuts, bumps, bruises, aches, pains, sore throats, earaches, colds and flus, acute illness. And the course is a really great one, easy to understand for everybody, and it's based on some really sound medicine from the Thomsonian medicine era, which Samuel Thomson wrote a book in 1805 called A New Guide to Health. And at that time, the population of the U.S. was 20 million. And when he died in 1835, he had 8 million people following his program. He'd gotten into some trouble with the medical association, like so many brilliant herbalists do, and decided that the easiest way for him to get his information to people was to write a book and put a patent on it and sell the patent for $5, and then you got to use his system. And it was a really tremendous system. At that time, your acute illness, your yellow fever, scarlet fever, things like that, were really the illnesses of the day. And he dealt with them very brilliantly by using a classification of herbs called pungent herbs. And he thought that by increasing the body's natural healing process, you could get over the illness faster. And the body, when it is under acute attack, generally tends to become inflamed and run fever. The fever is a sign of the immune system working, so he simply heated the body up, and I've had amazing results with this. I was telling Susan last week I got sick for the first time in 3 or 4 years and ran a fever and, you know, just felt horrible. My twin sister had the same fever for 7 days. She'd had a fever, and I caught it from her. I was taking care of her and, you know, ran my body down with all the holiday junk food and everything.
And I'll have to admit that I'm doing the same thing in the last 2 days, too. I think the country's kind of in a wave of this one right now. We're all caught up in it.
Yeah, it really
is. Post-holiday sugar syndrome, I'll call it.
Yeah, and it started after Thanksgiving here locally. There's a small school that I went to, only has about 500 students, and I remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking to the principal, who's a friend of mine, and in one day out of 500 students, they had 300 students out with the flu.
Wow.
Yeah, 3/5 of the school population was out with acute illness.
And when was this week?
This was the week after Thanksgiving, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm.
and that whole flu epidemic has been going on since then all throughout the country.
But I used to see it when I taught kindergarten. It would start right after Halloween, as soon as the candy hit.
Right.
And everybody
right.
starts to get sick, and they stay that way clear until January because of the holidays that keep hitting us with all the sugar we get.
And I thought to myself, you know, if they simply would make up some onion soup, they'd get better.
Right, and that's what I did today.
Yeah, it's amazing. You just take a couple onions and some garlic and salt and throw it in a big boiler of water and do nothing but onion soup and water for a day, and it tends to increase the heat in the body, you know, take a hot shower, a hot bath, and sweat out the toxins. And
and the good old Epsom salts bath, that's what I was doing every evening.
Epsom salts bath, a little bit of ginger in it to increase circulation. I broke my fever in less than 24 hours, the same fever that my sister had had for 7 days. I broke in less than 24 hours just by doing nothing but onion soup and water and hot baths.
And I put oils in the bath, too, because I like to, for one thing. And because if you get muscle aches and pains, you can add things like clove oil, nutmeg. We have a combination called Deep Relief available in Nature Sunshine that has those two oils plus one more, and I can't think what it is right now. But it helps to relieve the irritation in the body and the pain and the inflammation.
Speaking of that, my sister is now sold on an old herb that is called boneset. And a lot of people, a lot of herbalists, when they use boneset, use it to help rebuild broken bones because that's what the name implies. However, it was originally introduced to the pilgrims by the Indians. There's a flu epidemic that went around the pilgrims' villages, and it made the people hurt so bad, made their muscles hurt so bad, they thought their bones were breaking. And the Indians gave them this herb, and they called it boneset because it made the bone pain go away.
Mm-hmm.
It said it right. And I was able to take away her aches and pains from the common flu with just a simple tincture of this herb called boneset. So
now, we've got another thing that we do at our house. We have a combination called VSC in Nature Sunshine, which helps with viruses. And I tend to take a couple of those every hour, and it'll break this whole thing up much faster. Also, protease is another name for proteolytic acid, and that one I have discovered if I take that every couple of hours, it breaks a protein, and any virus has a protein sheath around it. So this helps to clear it out also much faster. And I do that even with diseases like cancer. You know, just suggest that to people that they do. It really helps to cut down the time period that the immune system has to fight all by itself. It really moves it along fast.
A side note about the VSC that you mentioned. The VSC combination was brought over here by a team of Chinese scientists in the mid-80s, and they actually had this combination that successfully eliminated 90% of the herpes virus in people. 90% cure rate for herpes.
And that would be mononucleosis, that would be shingles, chickenpox, all of the herpes viruses, that's herpes 1 and 2, the kind that comes out on your lip and inside your mouth, as well as genital herpes. Those are all in that same class of viruses.
So, yeah, they had this formula that worked well, and they actually came over here on a grant from the government to turn it into a medication, and they couldn't isolate one ingredient, and so they sent them packing, but not before they were able to sell the formula to another company. It's amazing at both short-term and long-term viral conditions.
I've used it on HIV.
I have also.
Yeah, and it's been successful. Another one that's really good for breaking up viruses is astragalus. Have you ever tried that? I know, Thomas, when we were in China, you came out of the open-air market with a whole bundle of astragalus for like 50 cents.
Yeah, I actually smuggled back about 5 pounds.
Don't tell that. But chewing on that on the bus, it was kind of a sweetie, nuttish taste, the actual bark itself. And, of course, here we experience it in a capsule form. But astragalus is in our product called Cellular Build, which is something that will help to repair structure and fight viruses at the same time because it works on both of those things. That's another one that I've heard being used for HIV because it's so good for viral conditions.
It's a great adaptogen. When you're talking about autoimmune disorders, you don't want to stimulate the immune system. You don't want to try to kill the virus off. What you want to do is you want to actually modulate the immune system and let it calm down, basically. You have to you have to soothe it and calm it so that it stops attacking the body. And astragalus works great at that. And it also tastes very good in the onion soup that I mentioned. I added
what a good idea. Yeah, you got that bundle of bark. That would really be good.
Yeah, I just added a couple of sticks of the bark to my onion soup, and it tasted great.
I'll have to admit, I threw some wild rice and a little bit of leftover turkey that I'd frozen into that to make it into more of a meal. Is that okay with you?
Well,
as long as it's
easy to digest foods. When you're sick, you know, you want to stay away from your hard to digest. No wheat, no dairy,
mm-hmm.
No red meats, because you want the body to use all of its energy to work on fighting and eliminating the toxins and fighting the virus instead of digesting foods. So
I guess we've picked our topic here. It's viral stuff, isn't it? And, of course, if you go to the regular MD, they'll tell you there's nothing for viruses. An antibiotic, you have to understand, will only kill off bacteria and within a certain range. So
does that tissue off as much as it does me that people go to the doctor with a flu and they come out with an antibiotic even though it won't work?
Well, and then what happens is by taking the antibiotics, you kill off all the good bacteria in your gut, and that sets up a yeast infection, because the Candida albicans can come in and take over. And then you've got a yeast infection, and in women it goes to a vaginal yeast infection where you itch yourself to death, and then you go to the doctor and you get more antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it said that that's like throwing gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, then after two or three rounds of antibiotics, they realize that you've got a huge yeast infection, and they give you nystatin, and, that drives it deeper into the tissue, and you wind up with, chronic kidney infections instead. Hello, it's all the same thing.
Yes, and so what you need to do if you've had a lot of antibiotics in an effort to fight with these things is to take in, first of all, something to kill off the yeast. Now, we've got a product called Yeast Fungal Detox, in which no yeast can survive. And there's another one. I use colloidal silver if it's a really raging one.
Mm-hmm.
And that kills off the yeast, and then you have to repopulate the good bacteria.
And then your time-tested garlic.
Garlic, yes. I did that the other day, too. I took garlic all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if you want it to work faster, it'll be funky and smell weird, but you do a garlic enema, and you can knock out colds and flus and yeast infections and everything.
Now, that sounds exciting. I want to see you demonstrate that. The garlic enema. We were talking about when we teach the class, we want to do demonstrations of things like enemas and we'll be talking about a combination. HCP is the initials that we use for it here in Nature's Sunshine Herbal Compound. Thank you. And you'll be drinking that tea in the class when you come to it. And that's a good one also to take at the beginning of a cold.
Absolutely. It works on the same premise as hot onion soup. It's a pungent herbs. It's got capsicum. It's got garlic. It's got bayberry, which is great for toning the tissue. It's got pine bark and cloves. All of these things warm the body up from the inside out. They're called diaphoretics. They make you sweat.
Bayberry is very good for clearing out infections, too.
It is. Have you ever sniffed bayberry?
No, I haven't. I was just going to say that. We need to tell them you can snort it up your nose, and that helps with a sinus infection.
It does. Now, it hurts. It does not feel good. A former client of mine had chronic sinus infections and didn't want to give up their milk and this and that, and they just said, I need something for it to drain right now. And I said, okay, it's going to hurt really bad, but snort some bayberry. And they did, and it hurt really bad, and they sneezed 27 times. And afterwards, they told me, they said, back in my younger days, I was a cocaine addict, and I have snorted just about everything you can imagine, and bayberry hurts worse than anything. But it works great.
Even heard it used for cocaine addicts, because they're used to having things up in their sinuses, That's a great way to heal up the sinuses, give them some nourishment, because it actually still will nourish them and heal up the situation.
It's probably the only herb that falls into the astringent category that's also moistening, so it won't dry out your sinuses.
Oh, that's interesting.
It squeezes the mucus out because it's astringent, but it actually keeps moisture in the area so that they don't dry out and start bleeding.
Ah, okay. You know, another one, I was just thinking there's another one like, oh, I know, in another combination that I've got in another company called Pure Herbs, there's a sinus infection combination that includes golden seal. Doesn't that make sense? Because
yeah.
That's going to clear up infections, too, and it does a great job.
And golden seal is another astringent herb that works on toning the tissue. Now, it's a little bit more drying than bayberry, but it's great. I would like to emphasize, while briefly we talk about golden seal, I have to get on a little soapbox. It's way overused. Golden seal is like antibiotics. You don't use it for a sniffle at the first sign of a cold. If you have an infection, it works great. But golden seal is one of our woodland herbs that's been over-harvested, and it's on the Plant Watchers potentially endangered plant list in like 19 states.
Right, so
and
you don't want to overuse it. Only use it when you really need it.
Right, and if you want, the active part of golden seal is vervine, and you can find that in small amounts in Oregon grape, and you can find that in larger amounts in a Chinese plant called Amur cork tree bark. And I'm actually using the Amur cork tree bark instead of golden seal because it's a cork tree. It grows fast. It's not over-harvested. It reproduces really fast. And, you know, they just take off one outer layer of bark, and then it regrows, and they take it off again. So it's a sustainable harvest on things. It's a really great natural antibiotic.
That's
my soapbox. Don't overuse golden seal. Use it only when you really need it.
Here's another point, and I'm sure since we're talking about the immune system, everybody out there is saying, why haven't they said something about echinacea? Because that's what the public knows about herbs. That's, that and St. John's wort is, you know, we'll get you a cup of coffee in San Francisco, right? Echinacea gives a kick to the immune system. And I have read that if you leave it alone until you need it, you're going to get the most juice out of it. However, I do have some older people that have just stayed on it through the winter. You know, they just stay on it all winter, and it helps to keep their immune system up and running. But as you said before, for an autoimmune situation, as in chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or anything like that, you don't want to be overstimulating that immune system because it's already on all the time because it's probably fighting with something you're allergic to anyway.
Especially lupus. I've had two or three clients with lupus that have been taking large amounts of echinacea because they thought it helped their immune system, and that's the absolute wrong thing to do. They actually felt better once they got off it. So with echinacea, what I like to do is during the cold and flu season near the wintertime is 1 week on and 2 weeks off. That way it gives the body a rest. Now, it's 3 or 4 days of echinacea, and the one that's most potent is the one that's not used very often because it's harder to find, but that one has been proven that if you stay on it extended times, it will suppress the immune system. So that's why I do 1 week on and 2 weeks off. That way, no matter what type you use, it still boosts the immune system and keeps the body going strong.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking of coughs. We've got a series of cough syrups, too, in Nature Sunshine that I just love. Have you ever have needed them and used them?
You know, I really hadn't used them that much. I've got a dozen wild cherry trees growing in my backyard, and anytime I have a cough, I just go out and peel me off a little bark and chew on it or make a tea up out of it. And so I personally have not used them. Now, I've had some clients to use them successfully, and I know that they work on a homeopathic level as well as a physical level.
And I have, on occasion, developed a cough. I can remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago I was experimenting with these. I haven't had anything, you know, for a long time, so I really haven't tasted them for a very long time. But I remember how immediately it soothed the cough reflex and just really brought that whole thing down, because they are homeopathic, and they don't have that horrible, horrible taste that the over-the-counter stuff has. I remember I was traveling one time and didn't have anything with me and bought some over-the-counter stuff, and it just, by comparison, it was like, this stuff really gave me a headache, you know, and it was nasty, but anytime I've ever had to use a cough syrup, these homeopathic ones really work well. And they have a dry hacking cough, they have a nighttime cough, and a loose phlegmy cough, and there's one for children's coughs. So there's four different formulas.
That pretty much covers it.
Mm-hmm.
You do have the dry spasm cough that is, you know, sometimes nagging and hard to get rid of, which indicates there's something left in the lungs that needs to be expelled and irritant left in the lungs. And Mullen works really well at increasing the mucus in the lungs and thinning it out, so you can get rid of that. And then lobelia, you know, if the cough is nagging, will relax that cough spasm.
ALJ was something I was reaching for today too. My nose got really stuffy. whatever this is kind of started in my ear and moved over to my nose. But ALJ every couple of hours, too, just helps to really relieve that that stuffy nose. And what it has, I have got it right over here on the shelf. I know it has horseradish and several other things in there. Let me have a look here. We'll see exactly what it is. Horseradish, boneset, fennel, and fenugreek and mullein, all in one combination.
There we go. That covers three out of the five that we've already talked about.
Yeah, and see, when you start combining herbs, you get a synergistic effect. My experience with this particular combination is that it clears the nose really quickly, and there's no side effects. There's no hangover feeling. There's no sleepiness you have to fight with. It doesn't knock you out. You actually, you know, once you've taken the stuff and let it settle in, it's like you can get up and function again. You know, it just quickly kind of clears things out.
And ALJ stands for Allergy Lung Formula by Jeannie Burgess. She's the lady that invented that formula, and it is amazing. Probably besides Proactazyme, which I do Proactazyme fast and take large amounts on a fairly regular basis, probably besides that, I've taken more ALJ than anything. I used to have chronic sinus infections, and, you know, back when I was eating horrible foods and drinking soft drinks. Now, those cleared up once I changed my diet, but I can remember days when I would take 40 or 50 ALJ, and it worked amazing. And you just keep taking it and keep taking it. You know, you want it to work faster, break the capsules open and put them in hot water.
That brings me to something. People are afraid to take a lot of herbs because with drugs you have to be careful about your amount. But what you have to think about is that herbs are really plant material, and they're concentrated, and you can take a whole bunch of them without any problem. You know, it's like how many peas would you eat, or how many carrots would you eat in a meal? You know, there's nothing dangerous about it. You know, when there is a danger, we would tell you as an herbalist, or the bottle will tell you. For the most part, though, the ones that could become an overload will cause you to vomit before you get into trouble. Lobelia is one of those. Pawpaw will do the same thing. Hey, I got one in front of me right here, Thomas. It's called FV. Have you ever tried that one?
SV.
F as in Frank, and then V as in Victor. And it stands for flu and virus.
Flu and virus, right. Well,
yeah, and this is an old formula that Nature Sunshine has had a long time, and we tend to forget about this one. But it has ginger root, capsicum, golden seal, and licorice root right in there.
There you go. You have your immune modulators, you've got your pungent herbs, and you got your capsicum to direct everything where to go.
And the licorice root would help to support the adrenal glands, so you have a little bit more energy to do it.
Right.
I was teaching a class one time. I can't remember where I was, but I remember a woman in the group when we were talking about the immune system mentioned this product, and she said that her family always takes one or two a day throughout the flu season, and then they don't get it. And I just remembered this looking at my shelf, so I need to take a bottle downstairs and start it on this one, and I will report to you in 2 weeks about it.
Yeah, the licorice that you mentioned to help the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are responsible for the release of histamine in the body, and if you have excess release, then you have allergies. So helping the adrenal glands out helps keep down allergies, and there's another great formula for that called Histoblock.
That's true, Histoblock, yeah. Yeah. So that one would work especially well on mold, dust allergies, that kind of thing. Anything that is you would normally go for an antihistamine for. It's amazing, really, what's on our shelves here. There are over 600 products in Nature Sunshine alone, and I carry three or four different types or brands of products. And when you start getting to specific blends, you can really pinpoint things and do a lot of nourishing around a problem that works in a totally different way than a drug does, which simply stops the symptom.
Right.
It doesn't get to the root cause of it. But, see, and the way these work with an actual invasion of a bacteria or a virus is that they help the body to support it to do its own flushing action. Mucus in your head is about surrounding a virus or a bacteria and moving it out by blowing your nose. So we don't want to suppress that. That's the way that the over-the-counter things work. But we want to just support that and get it on out, and that's what these products do.
So things that make your nose run more actually get rid of the cold faster. And it's, you know, it doesn't even have to be bacteria and virus. You can have an irritant from, eating bad food and having inflammation in the gut. You can have an irritant try to get out the respiratory system, produce mucus, and then bacteria and virus invade the mucus. So, you know, just getting rid of the mucus helps flush all of that from the system.
One of the other things that we'll be teaching in the Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad class, and I know that the title is a little scary to some people. It's a little bit, it sounds like you're being assuming of the medical realm. But the truth is that we do take care of ourselves at home long before we'll go to the doctor or the emergency room. And to have a good basis of how to really be supportive of the body's immune responses is really beneficial. I forget where I was going to go with that. Shoot. But the being supportive of the body's own responses. In fact, fever is another example of that. Fever is the body heating up to burn off the invader.
Yep.
So that's where you would want to get into a hot tub and break a sweat. And here's a way that you can do that. Here's some herbs you can use. I use yarrow for that, and I use sage for that. And you can take capsules and just break them open, or get the sage from your kitchen cabinet and dump it into your bath water. It'll make you hot. Have you done this? Have you tried this?
I use sage internally. If you drink hot sage tea, it makes you sweat. And if you drink cold sage tea, it keeps you from sweating.
Well, I didn't know that. I usually take a cup of hot sage tea with me to the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll put some yarrow in the tub. Yarrow is, I think, even a hotter bath than sage. And you'll break a sweat, you get hot, you leave the tub, you stay wrapped up, and you'll continue sweating for a half an hour or so. And then when you're done, you're much more comfortable, and you've broken the sweat, and by the next day, things are much better.
Yep.
I told that to a man one time when I was at his house giving a meeting, and he complained that he'd had this cold brewing for several days. He had no other product around, and I just said, "Do you have sage in your kitchen?" and told him how to do that. And he called me the next morning to tell me that he'd broken the fever.
Yep.
It had worked really, really well.
Yeah, sage tends to work when, you know, you don't have anything else and when other things don't work. I remember talking to a very famous herbalist about his brother had had a fever for like 3 weeks. He was in Alaska in the middle of nowhere, couldn't get to anything, and you know, called him, called this very famous herbalist after a couple of weeks and said, "Okay, I just got out of bed for the first time. I've had this fever for a couple of weeks. What can I do?" And, you know, Matthew said, "What do you have in your cabinet?" And the guy said, "Well, I really, you know, I've got salt and a little bit of pepper," and, you know, he mentioned sage. And Matthew said, "Yep, that's what you need to do right there." And sure enough, within a day, this guy had a fever for over 2 weeks.
Wow.
And within a day, he had broken that.
Wow. And, of course, people are worried about too high a fever. You know, and with small children, you would be concerned, I'd say, around 103. You'd start to want to cool them off.
I think children are more resilient than adults are. I don't mess with a kid's fever unless it's over 103.5.
Yeah, I think around there, somewhere there.
Yeah. Now, adults, I don't want to get over 103, but I think kids are even more resilient. And so if it's at 101, 102, I say throw them in a hot bath and heat them up.
Now, we had a two-year-old. I was at the parents' house for something, and I turned around, and this child was on the chair. His eyes were kind of rolling back his head. He was in a sweat. I touched him, and he was just burning up. And his mom is a physician's assistant, so she wanted to take him straight to the emergency room when she took his temperature, and it was at 104.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I said, "Well, you're gonna be an hour in the car. It's cold outside. Just, you know, and then you wait. Let's try some things first." So first we put him in a cold bathtub just to kind of cool it off. And I said, "Where do you have any garlic oil anywhere? Any garlic in your house?" And she had garlic oil capsules. So we broke some open and rubbed them on the bottom of his feet. And, you know, because he was so hot, he was just in his diaper, you know, and we rubbed him on the bottom of his feet, and then I started to rub it up and down his spine. The active ingredients into the bloodstream and circulating throughout his whole body. And he started to cool down from his feet up.
Mm-hmm.
And by an hour later, he was down to about 99.
Yep.
Just from the garlic oil. It's an amazing thing, garlic oil. I remember looking at him, and I had broken open maybe five or six capsules by then, just rubbing them on him. I said, "Oh, you smell like lasagna. You're good enough to eat." He laughed. He had his humor back and everything, but he just looked so ghostly before that. So when you do need to take a fever down, you can, and you do it with something that's still going to fight with whatever's going on in the body, which would be garlic. And that's one of our little secrets that we tell in the class.
And if kids protest about being put into a cold ice bath, you know, use alcohol, rubbing alcohol or vodka. You just soak down a cloth, wipe the kid down with it. As it evaporates, it relieves heat from the body.
And earaches, that's another one, because I did start this thing with an earache. I have a mullein and garlic oil that I've been using.
Yes.
It's wonderfully soothing.
Now, the only problem I find in using garlic oil for earaches is that sometimes the eustachian tubes are so clogged the garlic oil won't get in there, and I love fresh eyebright tincture for that.
Oh.
It relaxes the eustachian. Now, dried eyebright, you'd have to take 20 capsules an hour to get the same results, but 5 drops of fresh tincture of eyebright will relax the eustachian tubes and let all that bad stuff drain out. 5 drops about every 20 minutes.
Here's another one. For small children who have, you know, like the whole eustachian tube is sore down through there, I had a mother bring me a 2-year-old one time, and she was afraid he would go into strep. And we just used a blend of, any massage oil or kitchen oil like olive oil, and added some drops of oregano oil, and had her massage that down through his eustachian tube. Take about 15 minutes on each side and really work it down to the clavicle, and that helps to drain that whole eustachian tube situation.
I found cinnamon oil works really well also. Now, it tends to burn the skin if you put it on directly, so you need to dilute it with a little bit of olive oil, but rubbing it on behind the ear and down the neck works great. You can also, if you're brave, put a single drop of undiluted cinnamon oil underneath the tongue, and it burns, but it will drain everything in your head.
You wouldn't do that to a child.
Don't do more than one drop, because lots of cinnamon oil, like, you know, 20 drops can be poisonous. But one drop underneath the tongue or rubbing it on in a little bit of diluted olive oil for kids works great.
Okay. We are really planning to do these classes. It's time that people are empowered to know how to really take care of themselves at home. And the remedies that we've been discussing tonight are old-time remedies that people used to all just know because it was passed down from one generation to the next. And we live in an age where we can share these things by internet and the kind of media that we're doing here tonight. It's an amazing time to be alive to get a hold of the fresh common sense things that really do work. And that's what we want to start putting out there. So if you're interested in joining us for one of our classes, there will be a website put up, a page put on treelight.com. They're going to be registering for us there. And then you can always email me at ngingerich@cinci.rr.com. And how can we reach you, Thomas?
You can reach me through my email account, which is tmeasley@hotmail.com.
Okay, so you can get in touch with us in those 3 different ways, and let us know where you're from. We're still formulating these classes and finding the locations to do them. There will be a charge to the course, but if you think about how much it costs to go to the emergency room, you know, it would be worth it if you had to pay $1,000 for the class when you consider a lifetime of emergency room visits. You know, if you can save some of those in your lifetime, you'll be saving money. How much were we going to charge for those?
It's $175 a class.
See, that's cheap. That's nothing compared to what you're going to spend in the emergency room or overtime at a doctor's office dealing with antibiotics that aren't going to work anyway.
Right. You do get a hands-on 8-hour class, plus you get free support over teleconference after the class to review the course material.
And there is a certification available if you continue on with other courses. We're looking at actually doing a series of as many as 7 courses. So let us know if you're interested in that and what part of the country you're in, and we could, because we're right in the formulation of that. We're getting ready to find out where to put them. So please, please let us know. We'd love to meet you and all your friends. So I think it's about time for us to give it up for the night. Thomas, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yes, thank you, Susan.
You're such a wonderful blabbermouth. Thank you. And I want to apologize publicly to my daughter for putting her on the spot earlier. Everything's fine. No problem. It was just a little bit sudden is all. So we will see you again in 2 weeks, and hopefully we'll get some response from you guys for teaching the classes for you out in your areas. So thank you and good night.